The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas, for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin, Texas.
Oh, hi. If you like this show, will you leave a review for it wherever you listen to podcasts? You don't even have to write anything, just some stars will do. It's one of the most effective ways to spread the word about us and one of the most meaningful ways to show your support for what we do. We are so grateful. Okay, here's the show. Welcome to A Thing or Two, a deep dive into stuff we think more people should know about. I'm Claire Mazur.
And I'm Erica Cerullo. Just share your thoughts on this episode or anything really. Leave us a voicemail at 833-632-5463 or DM us on Instagram at A Thing or Two HQ.
And join our Geneva. Get in the chat with all the rest of the Bobs.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's a good one. Good
Thanks.
Line.
I'm, you know, just testing it out.
I think you're doing a great job. Thanks. You know what's happening a lot in the Geneva right now? Is people are vacation planning and getting a lot of tips.
Yeah.
I don't know.
A lot of vacation planning happening for sure.
We have a big guest today, Joe Piazza. I mean,
major,
huge,
major.
Huge. We love Joe, and her new book, The Sicilian Inheritance, is absolutely delightful. And it's exactly what you want to be reading. But first,
the case for unscheduled calls, as you titled the section of this.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. I just feel like one of the hard things about long-distance friendship in general is that maintaining them and having that friendship can start to feel like a long list of to-dos. Where it is like writing down to call somebody and like figuring out a time to talk. And it all just feels very scheduled in a way that like is restrictive, I think.
Well, and so I've maybe done this like once or twice, maybe during the pandemic or something, but some people do like to schedule phone calls, and I just really don't, you know, I schedule phone calls all day for work, and I don't ever really want to schedule a phone call for a friendship.
That is what I'm trying to get at, Claire. Thank you. That was like much better way of putting it. I schedule phone calls all day for work, and I don't want to have to for a friendship.
You kind of got to be in the mood for it, you know?
Yes. Yes. So my dad died recently, which is something that I am sure will come up on another episode and something that I want to talk about more. Not today. Definitely not today. A close friend called me in the middle of a weekday soon after. And when I answered, she was like, oh, like, I thought I was going to get your voicemail. Like, I did not think that you were going to be in the mood to talk or that I was going to get you. But for whatever reason, that moment, I was in the mood to talk and I think was like looking for an outlet to talk. And that moment with that person just felt like very cathartic for me. And it's a conversation we would have not had and a moment we would have not been able to like emotionally connect through if we'd waited for a scheduled moment. You know, if we had waited to like find the time and for me to like get my thoughts together and for me to, you know, convey my feelings in a specific way. I actually just needed to like not have to do that.
Yeah.
And to just like have the experience of being able to emotionally dump on someone in a friendship when you're going through something.
Totally. I will say, I think at some point as we've all like become busier, I think we've gotten a lot more comfortable with the idea of just accepting that it's a constant game of phone tag and more often than not, you're not going to get each other and that that's okay. And that you can play phone tag for a week and it's not.
You can play phone tag for a month.
For a month, yes. A week is not. Yes, a week is minimum. I think I came to an agreement with my friend Carrie because we get into these like epic phone tag things where it's just truly going on for months. And we both agreed like we're always just going to try when we can and we're not going to feel guilty that the person tried. If it's important, obviously we will text and say like, hey, this thing happened, call me. But also the other thing that has been a game changer is agreeing that sometimes we'll pick up even if we only have 10 minutes. And if we're haven't talked to each other for a month, those 10 minutes are going to be really valuable because it's like, we're going to get the highlights. We're going to have sort of connected on this thing. And the other person's not going to be offended that you only had 10 minutes. Because I think for a long time, I wouldn't pick up unless I fully knew that I had time to get into it with somebody who I hadn't talked to for a long time. And realizing like, no, this person just is happy to talk to me for the 3 minutes that I have before this next meeting is worth something. That's valuable.
Well, sometimes you also just get different snippets of people's life that way, mm-hmm. where it's like, oh, someone might be like dropping their kid off and you're right. getting like, oh, like this is the thing that we're dealing with like this classroom situation.
Yes.
That you might not get an hour and a half long conversation because it's like top of mind right now. I don't know. I do think that for me, it's been useful to be like, when someone calls, I'm not going to treat calling back as a to-do list item. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to like, it is a game of phone tag and I will call back when it makes sense to call back and when I have time, when I'm thinking of them. I also have just started to think of like the phone call itself as like the old school Facebook poke.
It's a little bit like that.
I'm thinking of you that like, if you're not available, it's not like, it's not an urgent thing. And exactly what you said of, if there is something we need to talk about, let's just agree to text and like make it clear that like we need to have a conversation or like I want to talk to you as opposed to it, you know, as opposed to the like lovely flow of just like wanting to chat.
Right. Exactly. No, I think it's being okay with the phone tag and being okay with the 5 minute call that has made a huge difference for me and just being like, yes, we're only getting this quick catch up in passing and might not talk again for another 2 weeks, but it does maintain the friendship in a different way. And it's feels so much less loaded than having an hour-long phone call once a month or whatever it is. I do have certain friends who, if they call in the middle of the day, I panic and I think something's wrong and I will almost always pick up no matter what because I'm like, who died? And to bring this back to the topic of death. And I think that's a little bit of just like, you know who your friends are who would normally call in the middle of the day. It's also the personal history of being like something terrible has happened in your life. And so now I just always like have this PTSD from it or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, you know, there's that of like for the longest time with one friend, I had to be like, you give me a heart attack every time you call me in the middle of the day. Like I need you to text first or something. But yeah, I think phone tag's fine. And so is a 4 minute call.
So is a 4 minute call.
Yeah. Should we bring on Joe?
Let's bring on Joe. So Joe Piazza is the author of the delightful new novel, The Sicilian Inheritance, also the true crime podcast titled The Sicilian Inheritance, about her trying to solve the murder of her great-great-grandmother. I mean,
wild.
Amazing, ridiculous. She is one of the most prolific creative people we know. When we've talked, when we've had those podcast episodes about creativity and Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert, Joe came up at least mentally for us every single time. She's written or co-written books like We Are Not Like Them, You Are Always Mine, Charlotte Walsh Likes to Win, The Knockoff, and How to Be Married. She's hosted and or produced the podcast Under the Influence, Wilder, which we talked about on the show, Committed, Fierce, She Wants More, and most recently, Too Much Money. Probably read her New York Times story from 2018 called How I Trained My Husband to Be a Dad. There's just a lot going on and it's all like so rich.
She just, yeah, like you said, she produces so much and she's really good at it. And she's incredibly curious, incredibly kind. And I love that about her.
Let's bring Joe on. Thank you so much to Nuuly for sponsoring today's episode. I have just been in the market for new jeans and going jean shopping is just extremely burdensome. Just
notoriously, infamously.
Notoriously. Yeah. Only trumped by swimsuit shopping, you know? It is a delight to just choose jeans on Nuuly, get six pairs and have them at my house and then be able to try them for like a month as opposed to just like in a dressing room in weird lighting and not know how you're going to style them and like all of that thing. They have favorite daughter. They have a Goldie. They have redone, like all kinds of stuff I love.
Well, because also with jeans, there's two things. One, it's like what shoes you're wearing them with and you want to be able to try them on with all your shoes. And two, what are they going to look like after your first wear? Do they stretch?
Are they going to be saggy and weird?
Exactly. Like,
are they going to cut into your waist or, you know, other
are they
going
to ride up your crotch when you sit down? All of these things are hard to know in a dressing room, but Nuuly does really, it's a perfect sort of mechanism for this. Yeah. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any six styles. You choose whatever you want to rent for whatever you have going on. It's totally up to you. You have access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. everything from party dresses to premium denim and one-of-a-kind vintage pieces. They carry labels like Free People, Farm Rio, Selkie, For Love and Lemons, Anthropology, A. Goldie, Lisa Says Ga, and more. They have inclusive sizing up to 5X as well as petite maternity. They have fast free shipping and returns and professional cleaning in newly state-of-the-art laundering facilities, so you don't have to worry about laundry. And you have the option to buy what you love, sometimes for up to 75% off. They give you everything you need to get inspired, get creative, and explore your style without making commitments, so you can free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. It's also really sustainable. It lets you love fashion in a way that's kinder on the planet. Orders are shipped in recycled, recyclable, and reusable totes with no plastic packaging. Clothes are cleaned using energy and water-efficient methods, and styles are repaired rather than thrown out. And it's flexible. There are no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. So no big deal if you lose a button, spill something, or just need to take a break. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles, but right now you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code ATHINGOR220. Just go to NUULY.com. That's Nuuly with 2 U's, and enter the code ATHINGOR220 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's NUULY.com, Nuuly with 2 U's, with code ATHINGOR220. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
Hi, I'm Mary Alice Haney.
And I'm Dr. Thais Aliabadi.
Dr. A, as she is known, is a world-renowned OBGYN. And together, we're launching a new podcast, SheMD, to empower women to become their own health advocate.
We're providing women with the knowledge and tools to really own their own health.
With celebrity guests and today's leading experts, we're dropping episodes every Tuesday. So listen and subscribe on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode.
Joe, we are so excited to have you. This just feels like, I don't know, a decade coming.
A decade coming. A decade in the making, my friends. Absolutely.
It is. You know what it actually is? Because I remember the wedding where I met you, and it was this. It was exactly 10 years ago because it was the same year as my wedding.
It was indeed. It was indeed. Yeah. I know.
I love this. I love all of this.
I remember standing at the Flamingo Hotel, the pool deck of the Flamingo Hotel, chit-chatting with you and being like, what a delight.
What a delight. I know. Yeah. Same. I can't believe that was a decade ago. Like, what is time? What is time?
Yep.
I couldn't tell you. That's for certain.
I have no idea.
You have written a novel that addresses time in some ways, The Sicilian Inheritance, which I am loving. Can I give you my pitch on like how I'm describing it?
100%. Give me your pitch, because I take everyone else's pitches and then turn them into ads.
Well, that's how you have to. Right, exactly. Okay. Sure. Elena Ferrante meets Gabrielle Hamilton meets Leanne Moriarty.
Wow. The Gabrielle Hamilton was not expected.
No,
well, our main character is a butcher, and in Blood, Bones, and Butter, Gabrielle Hamilton's lovely, what wonderful memoir. She was the chef at Prune, one of my very favorite restaurants of all time for years.
Favorite restaurant of
Thank
all time.
Thank you. Favorite. Yes. She went to Italy in that first book.
Yes, she did.
With her husband.
She married an Italian.
So it's there.
I feel so seen right now. So seen. Because those are all authors that I read while I was writing this book.
Really?
I reread and re-listened to Blood, Bones, and Butter, which is also one of my favorite books.
Love.
I love it. I love everything about her. And that essay she wrote during the pandemic too.
Yes.
That was so good.
It was so good. When I was writing my main character, Sarah, one of my main characters who's a butcher, listening to Gabrielle's words about being a butcher, about handling meat, like I absorbed.
And about like being a woman in this space and having to be in your body in those ways.
And being in your body, like I absorbed so much of it. So, and I read Leanne because I haven't written a thriller before. So I really wanted to like just see the procedure of how to do that. Those are the three women that I was reading. So,
wow. Yeah. You nailed it, Erica.
Nailed it.
But you nailed the execution. Yeah. You nailed the execution of it. Like that's, that all came through in that way that I'm like, oh, there's like, it's a like, what's going to happen next? And that like knowingness of Leanne that you're like, LOL, like you get the culture, you get the world. Mm-hmm. And then, the like being in Italy for the first time and the food pieces of it, of Gabrielle Hamilton. And then like the relationships of Elena Ferrante.
Oh, yes. Done. Nailed it. Also, that reminds me, I want to get this book to Gabrielle Hamilton. So I need to figure out how to do that.
You need to do it.
You will.
That's what I'm going to do this afternoon. Totally.
What can you tell us about the plot of the book?
The Sicilian Inheritance is loosely based on the murder mystery of my own great-great-grandmother, Lorenza Marsala, which is such a good name.
An incredible name. Incredible name.
And all I knew was that she was murdered in Sicily about 100 years ago. Really, I didn't know anything more than that, but I was fascinated with the idea of a woman left behind while her husband comes to America and what happens to her. And so I took that and I flew. I didn't want to know anything about the real story at the time. I was like, okay, I'm going to write a woman in the early 1900s who gets pregnant at age 14 and is forced to become a wife and a mother, but she wants so much more out of life. And then couple that with a modern day woman who is ambitious as hell. She is a butcher and a chef in Philadelphia. And her life is a mess here. Not because of all of the reasons that we see women's lives be a mess in commercial fiction, which is, oh, she's an alcoholic and an unreliable narrator, or she's mentally ill and we can't trust her. Her life is a mess because she wanted to be ambitious. She wanted to own a restaurant. She wanted to be a good wife and a good mother. And the world makes it impossible for women to do that. And so she blows up her life, goes to Sicily, tries to solve this murder in order to gain her family's land, to get some money to rebuild everything. It's a murder mystery, but it's also an adventure. And then because it's me and because I can't just write an adventure that is delicious with wine and sex and food, there's also the right amount of taking down the patriarchy and examining women's ambition and how we are and are not allowed to move around in the world.
I mean, incredible. Who doesn't want to read this?
Beautiful.
Yeah, right. I mean, and what I'm hearing from a lot of friends who got early copies is that this book also got them out of a reading slump.
Yeah. Because it has enough of that plot. It's like that snappy plot that moves you forward. But yes, is like touching on exactly what you talked about, ambition and how we're dealing with these things and the internal grappling that Sarah is facing of like, what is my life and what is my future? And, you know, where do I go from here?
Yeah. And why can't I have it all? Like, why is it so hard? Why is it so hard? My husband can have it all, but I can't.
Yep. What was the process of writing this book? How did you get into it? And you told us you just came back from Sicily. So, congratulations. Nice work.
Thanks. I mean, guys, all I want to do for the rest of my life is write books set in beautiful foreign countries. Like, can I just make that happen so that I have an excuse to travel for the rest of my life?
Yeah, I don't see why not.
Great plan.
Right. Let's put that out to the universe because that's what I want. So, yeah, I went back to Sicily because after I turned in the book, I became obsessed with solving the murder in real life because I'm a psycho.
Of course you did.
And also a very thorough content creator. And so I have been solving the murder for the past year in real life. I'm doing a true crime podcast called The Sicilian Inheritance.
Oh my God.
Incredible.
I took my three children under the age of six to Sicily last summer. So it's really White Lotus meets Only Murders in the Building of me like stumbling around being like, how'd you kill her? And Charlie being like, I want more gelato. Like, fuck you, mom. I dug in on the murder aspect and solving the murder. But I also went back to Sicily so that I could make this book come alive with the food. I want this to be a book that you sit down and you read it and you can taste it. I am very passionate about the fact that we need more books, much like Blood, Bones, and Butter, where women love food.
Yes.
I think we came up in the 90s and 2000s on books where women were constantly restricting themselves, where it was like Bridget Jones weighing herself in every diary entry. And I want to do the opposite of that. Like, I want a woman who like fucking loves food and is passionate about food. And I want readers to be like, I need to get a bowl of pasta and gelato immediately.
Yes.
While I am reading this book.
It's like you're watching TV and you have to eat what the characters are eating. Like, you have to have what they're eating on TV.
Every single time.
I miss that I read so much of my early 20s? The like food driven books that had a recipe at the end of the chapter, like the Ruth Reichel and
Cooking for Mr. Latte.
Cooking
for Mr. Latte.
Amanda Hesser, which we just like adored. Yeah, that whole model was just like such a good introduction to food, especially at that age of being like, what are people eating? How are people preparing this? How is this dinner party actually coming together?
Yes, exactly. And I think Nora Ephron kind of started that, right?
For sure. Yes, with Heartburn.
That is my go-to pasta. I make her pasta from Heartburn with the heirloom tomatoes.
Yeah.
every single time heirloom tomatoes come to the farmer's market.
What is this pasta recipe? What is that? Because I think of the, well, I think of the cacio e pepe, right?
This is the bed one, right? This is the pasta alla checa. And it is heirloom tomatoes that are scored and then boiled and then mashed up. It's a salad, essentially, over bucatini noodles. Mm. They're mashed up with a bunch of garlic and a bunch of basil and then put over the noodles and then chilled in the fridge. Preferably overnight, because then everything mixes together and gets delicious. And then you bring it out and you eat it cold.
Yum.
Delicious.
I know. And so I'm writing all the recipes from the book down and creating a PDF that I'll send to people when they
amazing.
I got the book, so they can cook too.
A DVD extra.
Of course you are. Of course you are. This is okay. So the other big thing we need to talk to you about is just how you are so creative, how you make space for these things, how you say yes to all of these projects, mm-hmm. and how you like prioritize these things and make them happen, because you are one of the most prolific creators, writers we know.
Well, if you asked Nick Astor, my husband, I say yes to doing too many things. He's like, how about you slow down? How about you do less? Like, you know, you don't do
well,
all
but
the
that's things. Not who you are.
Not who I am. It's he knows who he married.
Yes, right?
Yes. So I take it all the way back to me being a newspaper reporter before the internet. Like, I think that is very important. Like, I wasn't just a newspaper reporter. I was a gossip columnist at a daily tabloid in New York City. And so I had to write copy, sometimes lots and lots of copy, for the cover of a newspaper that millions of people would look at every single day. So I never had the luxury of having writer's block.
Be precious about it. You had to just like get it down.
Exactly. And because we were also working for like these old timey, nasty, drunk, old Australian and British editors who, like, if we got something wrong, they'd just like throw a mug across the room and like get out there. And that's my Australian accent. It's sad. Mm-hmm. So talk about toxic workplaces and how it inspired me today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But so I can write and write and write. And I also, I had to come up with different angles on stories constantly too.
Right.
So I credit this period in my life when a lot of people like looked down on being a gossip reporter for a tabloid mm-hmm. with teaching me how to report, teaching me how to write fast, and then also the creativity of coming up with so many different ideas. And also really watching media decline and fail for the past 20 years
yes.
or evolve, right? So I thought I'd be in print journalism my whole life. That was a big joke. So I moved from newspapers to magazines to digital to social to video to podcasts. And I think that was painful, but also constantly having to pivot. I'm always thinking about how to tell a story in the right way for the story. So is this a podcast? Is this an essay? Is this a newsletter? And you two are so good at that too. Like, you've been so good at the pivot and also the multi-platforms. And I love stories so much. I consider myself a storyteller more than an author. And I love meeting people where they're at for their stories. So sometimes that's a book and that's great. But also sometimes it's a podcast. And the Sicilian Inheritance multi-platform experience now is going to deliver for wherever you're at.
Yeah.
Like, maybe you are a mom who just had a baby. You cannot read a book. And I get it, because I have been there. I've been doing nothing but breeding for 7 years. And you want to listen to the podcast, and great, we've got that for you.
Yes, yes. I love this.
When does the podcast come out and where?
The first two episodes will be out before the book comes out. So,
whoa.
Yeah.
And of course they will. Of course they will. Yeah, you know what you're doing.
Yeah. The podcast is so good. And I just, as we said, got back from Sicily. I'm still getting over my jet lag. I mean, I'm pretty close to solving this murder, guys.
Are you kidding me? Did you enlist the help of a PI? What did you, or you were just like, I can figure out a murder by myself.
I cannot figure out anything in Sicily by myself because their bureaucracy is so intense.
Like, notoriously.
If they hate anything, it's someone who doesn't make an appointment. Mm-hmm. And a bunch of family members have gone back and tried to get records. And they've told me this story of being like, they're like, we got shut down. Like, something bad must have happened there. They like kicked me out of the office. Like, they know that this was a murder. And after this trip, I'm like, I think they were just pissed you didn't make an appointment.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think that's right.
I don't think they did. Yeah. I think that they're just like, well, you know what? You didn't make an appointment and we are only open for an hour because then we go to lunch and we quit for the day. So how dare you ask me to look at these birth records? I hired a translator and researcher. Her name is Laura Lee. She's an American living in Italy. Her company is so cute. It's called Digging Up Roots in the Boot.
Oh my God.
Wow. Wow.
I know. And she does research, like ancestral research, but also helps people get Italian citizenship, which I'm doing.
Yeah, you should.
I got all of the records and Laura is helping me figure it out. So I'm going to get Italian passports for me and my three very blonde children.
Good for you. Yeah. Good for you.
I am so intrigued by all of this. My brother has wanted to go down this journey, but we have to prove out all of these things.
You have to prove out all of these things. But Laura, I'm going to connect you with Laura because she makes it very simple. She can tell you right off the bat if you can get it. Because that's complicated.
Is this a dead end or not? Yeah.
Is this a dead end or not? Because it might be. Because there are certain dates that people had to have immigrated and naturalized during. Yeah. She can do that. But then she just like goes and helps you get the documents. She's a dream. A dream.
Wow. Incredible. So
she was my translator and she also made appointments in all of these places. And it took a year for me to get access to the homicide and mafia records in the court in the region.
I would have guessed longer.
No, right? Yeah. Just a year. But when I finally got it, everyone was wonderful. Like I was assigned an archivist named Giovanni, who we're best friends on WhatsApp now. And Giovanni was just so excited to go through these records with me. And we had to wear a mask and gloves because it was so dirty down there. I mean, literally, you feel like you're entering the bowels of hell. And I spent hours and days poring over old homicide records from the early 20th century Sicily.
Incredible. Yeah. Incredible. I can't wait for you to solve it.
I know. I mean, it's going to be pretty exciting. And
it is going to be pretty exciting.
The podcast is fun because you feel it's me. Like, it's not serious. It's like you feel like you're coming along with me in this comedy of errors of like trying to solve an ancient murder mystery.
Yeah. So fun. So fun.
Thank you so much to Fast Growing Trees for sponsoring today's episode. I am so excited about my latest Fast Growing Trees acquisition, and I'm going to tell you why. I was so sad to take my Christmas tree down this year.
You were.
It just added so much coziness. And I had the realization, actually, after seeing a pine tree in a friend's house that she had decorated with white Christmas lights for Christmas, I was like, I just need to get a pine tree in my house. I need to get a year-round pine tree to sort of give me the Christmas tree vibes in March. And so, folks, that is what I did. I ordered a Norfolk Island pine. I think it is going to be the coziest thing happening in my house. I'm not going to jump to putting white fairy lights on it right away, but I'm not saying
you'll build to that. You'll build to that.
And like, I don't know, it might get some like seasonal ornaments that aren't Christmas tree ornaments. Like I might become that person.
You could become that gal. Yeah.
I could be like, I don't know. There might be like Easter egg ornaments hanging on it this month. Who knows?
Who can say? Who can say?
I also want to say I ordered this thing, got the news that I had to unexpectedly be out of town. Got online with the customer service at Fast Growing Trees. And I was like, can you wait to ship this thing so it's not sitting around on water? They were like, no problem. Tell us when you want to ship it. Took me like 30 seconds to have this conversation with them. I was thrilled.
Fast Growing Trees is the best. Did you know that Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the US with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers? They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days or later if you need that. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. You don't have to have a yard or a lot of space. You can grow a lemon, avocado, olive, or fig tree inside your home on top of the wide variety of houseplants available. The experts at Fast Growing Trees curate thousands of plants so you can find the perfect fit for your specific climate, location, and needs. And you don't have to drive around to nurseries, big garden centers, lug things around, any of that. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off select plants and other deals. And listeners of our show can get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code A Thing or Two at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code A Thing or Two at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code A Thing or Two. Offer is valid for a limited time and terms and conditions may apply.
Thank you so much to Indeed for sponsoring today's episode. I was talking to a friend over the weekend who has a couple of jobs to fill, and she was like already doing the spiraling about how much time it's going to take to onboard someone new. And that it's like, well, they're like not actually not new in their job until it's like 6 months or 9 months. And like that lift just feels so much as a manager. And then she was like backing out and being like, God, like I'm like not even, I haven't even processed how painful the hiring process is going to be. And like that job search and like all of the lifting that goes into that. And we just need to be able to make things easier on one of these ends, you know, like it's just, we need to streamline and we need Indeed to help with that.
Indeed does help with that. Because when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate is to not search at all. So you don't search on Indeed, you match. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work and use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of our show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/a thing or two. Just go to Indeed.com/a thing or two right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/a thing or two. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Can we talk about your thingies?
I want to talk about all my thingies.
Let's talk about your thingies. I have my fingers crossed that Tradwives is on your list. So if it's not, can we just add it to the end? We got to talk about Tradwives.
We can talk about Tradwives right now.
Because I really was resisting the Tradwives thing for so long. And then you are responsible for pulling me in. Because I was like, I'm just not going to pay attention.
That's good of you, Claire. And you decided you had to opt out of something. Because you go so deep.
I don't opt out of much, but then I'm in now. I would like speak on it.
Okay. So here's the thing. I would have opted out of Tradwives too, except I've been doing this podcast under the influence about social media for so long now, and they can't be ignored. The Tradwife movement can't be ignored. And it started out as, I think it's a trend on social media, looking at a certain type of woman who is very submissive to her husband, who has taken the domestic role to the extreme. It's not stay-at-home moms at all. It is the woman who says women do not belong outside of the home, who is adhering to a false nostalgia from the 1950s. I think the majority of these people on social media are playing a role.
It does
very well on social media. The Instagram algorithm loves pictures of beautiful homes and beautiful dresses and women running barefoot through a field with chickens and 10 children. And so the Tradwife aesthetic has done very well for brands like Ballerina Farm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also done very well for brands like Doen, who sell these flowered dresses. But it's interesting the things that the Tradwife Instagram accounts promote. I mean, they also like really push nap dresses and things like that. And also $85 flour. Like more people are buying artisanal flour to make sourdough bread than they ever have before. What I want people to realize is that this aesthetic and this idea is mostly a brand. People are trying to sell you things. And so much of social media is a brand where people are trying to sell you things. And when we see that, and I say this all the time in the podcast, I think it's so much easier to enjoy social media again, to know that we're like, oh, okay, you're Nike, but on my phone.
Right.
Totally. And to be, and just like acknowledge the creative ways people are trying to sell shit.
The creative ways people are trying to sell shit, which I'm constantly trying to channel as a person selling books right now. And I'm like, how can I channel this? Like what Tradwives want to pretend to give birth to my book on their what would that cost me? How much would I have?
This is why I started paying attention to the Tradwife thing, because it seemed like they were responding to the trolls with their own trolls, with their own trolling. And so the Tradwife content I'm getting served all feels like a very intentional troll where
these women are like, and then I went to milk the chickens, or like, my kids just told me that they wanted grilled cheese for lunch. So I'm making the cheese by combining the rennet with boiled water. And I'm like, oh, are you in on the joke? And it took me a minute to wrap my head around what they were doing.
There's at least
a wink.
Because
I was like, oh, it's satire. And then I was like, no, it's actually not satire. It's just that this is their way of responding to their critics, is just to amp it up and piss off their critics more, which is works.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, it's all kind
it's
of
fun.
Genius and kind of terrible. And I do, like I said, I think the majority are doing this as a performance, and some of it's satire, but it's also so hard to tell what is satire.
It's very hard to tell. That was what I found to be deeply disorienting about it. And I've landed in this place where I'm like, oh, it's like Trump, where you're like pissed off that he's saying this stuff. So he's like, I'll just keep saying it even more. And like,
I'll just keep saying
I'll make it more egregious.
I'll make it more. And they are making it more and more egregious every day.
Exactly.
My favorite one to follow is Lex De La Rosa.
Yeah. Well, she was the one where I was like, she milks her chickens. It's obviously a joke.
And I interviewed her. I had her on the podcast. I was like, all right, if we're going to talk about this, then just come on, let's talk about it. Like, tell me your reality. And from what I gather, she is a stay-at-home mom. Her husband is the breadwinner right now, mostly because childcare in this country is unaffordable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Like, this is not necessarily what she wants to be doing right now, but it is what she is doing. And she's fully leaning into it. And by leaning into it, has started creating this content and is now taking the piss out of it.
Well, but this is what I don't understand. It's so much work to do what they do. It feels like a more full-time job than my job. So the conceit of it being like, oh, she's a stay-at-home mom, or she's doing it because her husband works and she's doing it to serve it. I'm like, you don't have time to take care of your kids. You have to film this thing of you making homemade Play-Doh.
All the time.
I don't actually understand. That's what I don't understand.
The time management of it is a question for you.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Or a question.
The entire concept of it, where I'm like, you don't have to be deep on the internet to understand how much work it is to film one of these things.
I mean, a lot of the Tradwives do also have teams. They're media brands. So like, people come in. I did an episode about this a long time ago. Photographers who are now professional blogger and influencer photographers who used to be making a living off weddings and engagement shoots are making so much money. They go into influencer houses once a week, or sometimes only once a month, and they shoot all of the content for an entire week or month.
Right.
One day.
Okay.
Right. They manage the content calendar. Everything gets shot and parceled out. Yeah.
And parceled out.
Yep. Exactly.
Thank you for indulging me on this.
Yes. Yes. Of course. I'm here for it all the time.
Thank you.
Okay. Now we can talk about your thingies. What are you excited about these days?
I have a lot of thingies. I do.
Please.
So I am very into the Jenny Kane Moisture Rich Balm. Have you tried it yet?
Yes.
Love. Is this the cleansing balm or the moisturizer?
No, this is the one I'm very into. Okay. That's like the oil moisturizer.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. So I got sent some of this because they were going to be a sponsor of the podcast. I got sent it and I'm like, whatever, I try all the things. And I fell so madly in love with it. I was talking about it to one of my girlfriends, and then she got me like three of them as a big birthday gift, which I felt very seen in that moment. It smells so good. I slather it all over my face. I don't put anything under it. And because so many people for podcasts and interviews use the video now, like it makes me look really glowy. And
yes.
You look
yes.
extremely glowy
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
I,
yeah.
Oh, thank you. It's a little bit like putting Vaseline on your face, but good smelling, lighter Vaseline.
Yes.
And not made of petroleum.
Not made of petroleum. It's made of something much more expensive.
Yeah. Than something way fancier.
Something way fancier. But I'm very, very into it.
Have you tried the cleansing balm?
No, not yet. Because no one sent me that for free or gifted it to me. And I'm so cheap.
Tell them they will after this. The cleansing balm is incredible. I also like that the moisturizing balm. And I similarly have used it as a highlighter. But the cleansing balm is so delightful because you just put it on and then you wipe it off your face and it smells incredible and it really feels like it takes everything off. Of the cleansing balms I've tried, I think it is the best.
Yeah. I mean, the smell is really good because it's not too intense.
Yeah.
It just, and there's very few things that I can put on my face right before bed that I won't like be like coughing or sneezing.
Yeah.
And no, this feels, it feels really good.
It's not like an added fragrance sort of aroma either. Yeah.
No, exactly. So my other thing, what do you guys know about Frida Salvador shoes?
Oh, love.
Oh, good.
Love.
Good.
Yes.
Good.
Love. Yes.
Yes.
I wore a pair of their mules to death and now have a pair of fisherman sandals. Yeah. They just do a consistently good job.
they are so consistently good. I became friends with their founders when I lived out in the Bay Area. And we were like going to all of these like, you know, mom events and events together. And they are my go-to shoe for book tours. So I wear them all the time. And I just got the ballet flats, which are kind of new because I wear the slides and then I also wear the loafers. But I just ordered the ballet flats because I'm going in really bright colors for this book tour. I'm channeling, I don't like to call it mob wife aesthetic, but I've got a piece coming out in Cosmo next week about how it's big Sicilian energy.
Love. Yes. Way better. Way better.
Way better. Because it's nothing to do with being a wife. It's just this confidence and this like, don't screw with me energy.
A little bit loud in a fun way.
A little bit loud in the best way. Like, come to my party. You're going to be the, you know, the loudest, most fun person there. So I'm wearing really bright colored suits and dresses, and they've got these ballet flats that are bright pink and bright green and silver and red. And so,
okay. Yeah. I need to see them. Yeah. I have not seen these yet.
Well, they're also square toe, which adds just a like different kind of look to the swag.
Wow. Wait, these are so good. I want the green ones.
I have the green ones. I have the green ones. I have the pink ones. And I think I have to order the gold ones too. The gold ones are like a really special, like, holy shit, this could go with any. I could wear this with sweatpants and really dress this up. Or this I could wear this with my hot pink
suit. Yeah, these are really, really
good.
This
was the shoe I wanted to be putting on today because I put on a ballet flat today and I was like, I said to myself, what I wish it was a high throat, so like metallic one.
That is exactly what we're looking for. A high throat. I didn't have the language for like, this doesn't have toe cleavage.
Yeah, no, I wear Rapettos and have for years, but they're very shallow. And
they're shallow, yeah.
And I was looking at myself being like, to really make this feel now, I needed a metallic high throat ballet flat.
And I will say they're a genuinely great investment piece. Like, I've had all of my shoes from them for 7 years now.
I have also. Yeah.
And I wear the hell out of them. So like, they're on the pricier side of the spectrum. Again, like, I'm like an old Sicilian grandma. I hide money under mattresses. But this is my go-to shoe. And
it's
I love them. Love them so much. And also, you know, female founded company.
Yes.
With moms in charge, with like great corporate culture. I love them so much.
And they also just like, they do what they do and they do it well. They're not, you know what I mean? They do shoes and then they have some handbags and belts, but it's like all leather goods and they're very, it's all very serious in that way.
Yep. Exactly.
It's not a like lifestyle brand. If that
No. Because, and I love a brand that, you know, is like, you don't have to be everything.
They got focus. Yeah.
They've got focus. Exactly. Another thingy that I'm loving is I have not had time to watch a lot of TV. Like, I always say that my husband and I were like, we're going to watch a show tonight, man. We're going to watch a show.
Yeah.
And then after putting three kids to bed, it's like, I just performed an opera and it doesn't work. It doesn't work. And I have to go to sleep immediately. But I just took a 10-hour flight home and I got to catch up on the other two. And I loved it when I first watched it, but this is the third season. And I think this season is their best season yet. It is so funny. The episodes are also so short. And that's
They're so quick.
It's so quick. I feel like I just got a dose of joy. And then I get to walk away for a while. Like, I don't need an hour and 20-minute episode of a TV show.
Want an hour and 20-minute episode of a TV show. Okay, so two things related to this. One of my favorite parts of the other two is Ken Marino, the manager.
He's just
incredible. And we
Do
are
you watch State?
No.
Oh God. All right, I'm going to send you clips from The State. The State is this old sketch comedy show from like when I was in college. So late 90s, early 2000s. Everyone in it is perfect. It's when there were a lot of shows like Mad TV was on and they were all trying to be SNL. But The State is kind of more irreverent and ridiculous, and you'll recognize everyone in it, but especially Ken Marino is so freaking good in it. And they're like, he just does so many sketches. I'm going to send them all to
you. I am so thrilled about this. So I've been rewatching Party Down at my house because like also that is like one of Ken Marino's finest moments. And his character just goes through on such a journey. And yeah, it's so fun. And that is also one of those shows where you're like, thank you. It's 25 minutes. It's totally ridiculous. It is so over the top. The other show I need to ask you about is, have you watched Girls 5 Eva?
No, not yet. And it's on my list. I know.
So your speed. Like, if you like the other two and you care about how women are perceived in the world, this is your show.
I do. Those are two things.
Yeah.
Those are pretty much, that's my jam.
Yeah. You will love it. You will love it.
It's funny because I've written so many different kinds of books that my agents hate it. Publishers hate it.
Right.
And even when we went to go sell The Sicilian Inheritance, like, I'd just come off like a pretty big book. We Are Not Like Them was a GMA pick and stuff, mm-hmm. which is cool. But there were publishing houses that rejected this because they're like, Joe Piazza doesn't write historical fiction or thrillers. They're like, you know,
Joe Piazza does whatever the fuck she wants.
How dare she? And I'm like, no, I'm going to do whatever the fuck I want. I like writing about ambitious women. That's my swim lane. Can we just have a shelf in the bookstore that says about how women are perceived in the world? Because that's just my jam. That's my genre.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Do you have anything else for us?
I've got one more. I have to have a podcast because I'm a podcaster.
Because you are a podcaster.
I'm a podcaster. And podcasts remain my favorite way to tell stories. Like, I love books, but I just think audio is such a cool ass way to connect with an audience. My friend Nora McInerney is now producing a lot more podcasts.
Yes.
Than just Terrible Thanks for Asking, which is one of my go-to listens, which she's not doing anymore. She's pausing it. And she has a new narrative series called The Silver Chain, which is about a trove of archives found by in the Minnesota Historical Society about a group of 70s swingers.
What?
Wow.
Yes. And going back and revisiting this group and like all of the mystery surrounding them and talking to members now. And it is such a ride. And
oh my
just like
God.
If you,
you know, How if you fun.
Just so fun. So fun. It's like if you want to just go off the rails while you're walking or doing dishes and the kids aren't around because it is about 70 swingers. Yeah. This is what you want to listen to.
I love this. Minnesota culture is also so specific.
Nora gets that. Yes. You know, she's
a Minnesotan.
She's a Minnesotan. So she can appreciate that for all it is.
Exactly. We became friends in Minnesota because I was on book tour there and I was tired. And she just invited me to her house and her cute husband made me hot dogs.
Oh, my gosh. That's the Minnesotan way.
It's also made me like anytime an author is like, I'm coming to Philadelphia. I'm like, come to my house and my cute husband will make you a cheesesteak.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's lovely. How's Philly?
It's so great. I love Philly so much. I mean, it's the perfect size city for me to be in. And we're right in the middle of the city. So we can walk to everything. We walk the kids to school. The restaurants are great. And yeah, I love it. Plus my mom is here. And so she helps with the kids.
What are your go-to Philly restaurants?
Oh, so I love Zahav, which is everyone's favorite, you know, just incredible Israeli food from Mike Salomonov, who is a genius. Friday, Saturday, Sunday is right down the street from my house.
Okay.
And they just won a James Beard Award. And they have like a big fancy menu upstairs. But if you get to the bar at 5 o'clock and get a seat, you can order a la carte. And so we try to do that like once every 2 weeks. And
that's nice.
They have incredible cocktails. We've got a great Italian place called Carina that is also right down the street. I mean, we can walk to everything awesome.
That's great.
So
that's awesome.
It's just good. And again, the childcare, like I couldn't write all of these things. And I like to say this as often as possible. I couldn't do all of the things I did without like my mom helping and I have full-time childcare.
Mm-hmm.
And like that is how I am able
that
to
is the magic. That yes. is the magic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Joe, this was so delightful. Thank you so much for coming on. This book is incredible. It's perfect. It's like it's what you want to read right now. The Sicilian Inheritance. And I can't wait to listen to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm going to send you guys the trailer. You're going to love it. It's so fun.
Can't wait.
That's the show.
Thank you so much.
Oh my gosh, you guys, I'm in the middle of the podcast, but Sheryl Crow singing First Cut is the Deepest is actually also a cover. And I remember Rod Stewart singing it, and it was written by Cat Stevens. And the best cover to me, gives me the chills, is Heart covering Stairway to Heaven by Led Zeppelin at the Kennedy Center Honors. It's incredible. Okay. Love the pod. Bye.
This has been a production of Dear Media, and we are so grateful to the talented team over there for helping us make this podcast happen, especially our wonderful producer, Olivia Mead. You can follow us on Instagram at athingor2hq. If you have ideas for the show or want to advertise, email podcast@athingor2hq.com. Find show notes and sign up for our newsletter at athingor2hq.com. And if you love our show, you'll also want to join our Geneva. Lots of good chatter happening there.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.